Greeting in the name of Jesus. Just a little thought that I had for Sunday school. In our paper this week, there was an article in there concerning a Holocaust survivor that was in his 90s. And he was giving a speech in the Lancaster area. He was explaining all the bad things that happened he experienced in the Holocaust, and he survived. He even said he wouldn't even give a stale piece of bread to his cousin. Then someone asked the question, where was God in all this? Well, he couldn't give that answer. My answer would have been, remember what the Jews said at the crucifixion. That this blood be upon us and our children. Remember, God listens and he never forgets. That's just a thought I had concerning Sunday school. On the way here, just going through Lincoln, I seen a sign. I'm going to reword it just a little bit. It said tomorrow's forecast, but I'm going to word it. Today's forecast, God reigns and the sun shines. S-O-N. Sun shines. This morning, that is real. As you look around in creation this morning, I just had to think of the resurrection. It's obvious. So obvious. It's right before our eyes. Well, this morning, our title, Let Not Sin Therefore Reign. That quote is taken from Romans 6, verse 12. Think of the title a little bit. Let not. Stop letting. Just that simple. Right? Well, when I try to go on a diet, it's not that simple. Not that simple. I need an inner power. Sin. What's the middle letter? I. We're all involved. Therefore, reign. What is reigning have the idea of lordship, king of our life? In other words, the word sinning is singular. So it's not saying sins, it's saying sin. So that is meaning human nature. Sir James, the discoverer of chloroform, was asked, what's the greatest discovery you ever made? He answered, that I'm a sinner. That I'm a sinner. You know, that's the first place where us as humans got to come to, that we're sinners. One reason sin flourishes is that it's treated like a cream puff. A little bit might be good for you, but too much make you sick. Instead of a rattlesnake, when it bites you, it's death. Just a little bit don't hurt. Sin is almost as old as man. We could say, you know, when we think of old things, we think of old cars, old furniture, we think of antiques, don't we? Well, this is an antique of humanity. It's as old as humanity. And that's something I would give away. I wouldn't even try to sell it. You know, we try to sell antiques and get large money for it. But I would be willing to give it away. Question this morning to us. Do you enjoy sin? Do you enjoy it? There's people that will say, I enjoy singing. I heard a quote of a young man that said, I can do good just so long that I got to do something bad. Guess where he is today? He's in jail. Pride is probably the first sin that was ever committed. We all know that was committed to Lucifer. And he was cast out. He wanted to be like God. Well, we know God is God. There's only one God. God's not going to share his authority. God is God. Therefore, he had to be thrust out. And when he did that, the only thing that he could attack was humanity, God's creation. God's perfect creation, Adam and Eve. There in the garden, they were perfect. They were his creation that could communicate with God. Therefore, that's where Satan attacked it. As you understand, when God created the earth, he created mankind, he said it was very good, very good. But that he said before Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned. We notice back in Genesis 2, God gave one commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only law they had. That's the only law they had. But that is where Satan attacked it. Satan wanted to get God's humanity, God's creation, to worship him. And that's where sin had its beginning. At this time, I want to read Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead are members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have not dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that you to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether the sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things thereof? Ye were now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now being made freed from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we understand back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a result of sin. They died in a spiritual sense. They lost a spiritual connection with God. Also, the dying process started in humanity. I often wondered how much time was elapsed between they were created and when Satan came. Often wondered that. I don't know. We're not told that. But if say there was a year in there, let's just stretch our imagination a little bit. Say there was a year in that, but I doubt it. Satan wouldn't wait that long. I would say they didn't age in that time. Aging process only started after sin came into the world. Then I want to just read one quote that Adam said, chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid. And he said unto him, where art thou? Why was Adam afraid? Didn't God want us to have a one-to-one friend relationship? Well, sure he did. I'm sure they did at the first. But fear came into scene because guilt, sin, has brought fear. He was ashamed. He had a smitten conscience. It was the saddest day of man's history. Man lost fellowship with God. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. It was a perfect place to be. And then there was consequences for that sin. We know that thorns and thistles grew upon the earth. And we also know that the serpent was in a form of a snake, what we call a snake today. I believe it was a different form at that time, but it had to crawl around in its belly after that. And we also, the woman had to bear children in pain. Then it also says that in the sweat of the brow, they're going to work with in the sweat of their brow. Now, sometimes people think that sin and work have the same birthday. That's not true. I should have kept my say. Back in Genesis, verse 15, chapter 2 says this, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man had something to do before sin. Sinning, but after sin entered the world, though, things became more difficult for man. Thorns and thistles. The next time you see a thorn and a thistle, remember that's what sin is, the consequences of sin. Man made a choice, and he ought to have far-reaching consequences. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The saying goes like this: people sometimes say that young people, this is time to sow wild oats. But then they like to pray for a crop failure. Well, young people, remember, what we sow is what we reap. I'll just give you a little story. A story I heard many years ago of a young man. He enjoyed catching birds. And what he did was pluck the eyes out and let them fly. And they would go to, well, they couldn't see. You can crash landing. You know, that man married, and he had two blind children. What you sow is what you reap. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 5. As I was studying, I came upon this verse. Well, we all know that in chapter 5, verse 12, by one man, sin entered the world. That was Adam. And we also know that through Jesus Christ is the redemption for sin. Now, verse 13, "Unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed, then there was no law." Now, verse 14, this is what I want. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." Now, think about it. From Adam to Moses, God didn't give the law, his do's and don'ts, I could call it, until Moses. In between that time, what for law did they have? Well, we know they sacrifice for animal sacrifice. That we know. That's one thing we know. But what else do we know? We do also know one other thing. When Cain was wroth at his brother Abel, what did God say? God said, "Sin lieth at the door." Just before he committed murder, he said, "Sin lieth at the door." So God called murder sin. Them are the two laws, only laws that we see between Adam and Moses. Now we could say, no wonder the world went the way it did. Well, I can't answer for that. I cannot answer for that. But we do know God's ways are better than our ways. A little more on verse 14. I had to ponder this thought, and I thought, now, are those people really accountable between Adam and Moses? Are those people accountable? They are accountable for what they know. That's one thing we know. They are accountable for what they know. We also know, one other thought I want to bring out. In the Old Testament era of time, there had to be an animal sacrifice to cover man's sin. Remember, there in the garden, when God slew an animal and then he covered them with the skins of the animal. Therefore, man has to also, in the law, in the Old Testament era of time, he had this animal sacrifice, that an animal had to die for man's sins, cover man's sins. Now, as we looked, we know the sin's beginning, we know the sin's results, Now, what does God think about it, sin? Well, we know the different things that God said about sin. Now, are there any degrees of sin in God's eyes? Are there any different degrees? Does God call this sin not as bad as this sin? Well, when we thought about the murder and we thought about the forbidden fruit, they all both had about basically the same consequences, basically. Sometimes we say, well, that sin is not as bad. Murder, yeah, well, we wouldn't do that. But how about that little unforbidden thing? But God called it sin. God called it sin. You know, that could have a bearing on us today. We could look at the court system today. The courts, no matter what, for one sin to the next, is bad in God's eyes. It is sin in God's eyes. But yet man looks at it and says, well, that ain't as bad as this, so that doesn't get as much punishment as this. Well, let's always keep in focus, brethren and sisters. Sin in God's eyes is still sin. It's still forbidden. I want to go to Proverbs 15:9. I want to see a statement. Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Wickedness to the Lord is an abomination. Abomination is something detestable. Thinking of it detestable like this. Did you ever taste something that really was against your liking? You spit it out immediately. You couldn't even handle the taste. That's exactly how God thinks of sin. Detestable. In Deuteronomy, God calls it rebellion. I come across a little quote by D.L. Moody. He said this: there is a great difference between sin indwelling or sin reigning in us. It dwells in every believer and reigns in every unbeliever. Amen? We never get rid of the sin nature. But we can have victory over it. But it must not reign in us, reign over us. With the Holy Spirit, we can have sin under control. So label sin, let's label for what it is. It is poison. Now, brother, you think by now, why, brother, why are you making so much about sin? It's all part of humanity. I'm not saying it's because one is worse here than the other. I am saying we all struggle with it. We all struggle with it. And it's a part of humanity that we all have to deal with. Before man has Jesus Christ, he is helpless and hopeless. We need power in the blood. That's where the power is, the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Man now has access to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11:28, I should read them verses. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The invitation is to come. Come to the cross, and follow the Lord. That's where we can find victory. That's where we can find power to overcome the human nature. Jesus opened the way. And you know, we need much prayer in doing this. Now let's go to our text, Romans 6, verse 7. I'm not going to make too much on all of it, but verse 1 there, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God said, God forbid, don't even think about it. What shall we say then? Are we dead to sin and live any longer then? We must discontinue to live, or to will to live in sin. We have to get rid of the will to live in sin in order to become victorious over it. We have to have that will. Sin, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Sin is a bondage. It is a terrible master. The body is not sinful in itself. Okay? The body itself is not sinful. We are ruled by one master or another that controls us. That is what rules, that is what either we have sin, doing sin, or are we doing righteousness? We are spirit controlled. I'm going to read a verse in 1 John 4 to verify that. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Then verse 6 says, we are of God, we that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Thereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's two spirits, God's spirit and the spirit of error, which is Satan's spirit. So we are controlled, but God uses our body and Satan uses our body in order to do the things that are good or evil. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, Jesus died on the cross. We must also have getting the new birth. We also die to our sin nature, to our sins, die to our sins. Sin finds a whole foothold in our Adamic nature. We inherited from Adam. When Jesus died, we die to sin. Jesus died for sin. We accept this to receive eternal life. Jesus' resurrection also gives us power in newness of life. Thinking of the resurrection power, Jesus overcame death. We can also overcome the death sentence. As we receive Jesus Christ, we overcome the death sentence. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do enough of good deeds to receive it. It is a free gift that God is giving us. A free gift. But it costs so much. It costs so much. It costs Jesus Christ's life. Remember, the love of God sending his son and the love of Jesus Christ to come on this sin-cursed earth for you and I. We were sinners. Therefore, let not sin and death have dominion over us. Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Why does the Lord want your body? Your physical body has many members. They function together to carry out any given task. God wants our body. God wants the Spirit to reign in our body so that we can carry out the tasks that God wants us to do. God wants us to use our members of our body for tools for building God's kingdom. God used the mouths and tongues of the prophets. Paul's dedicated feet carried him from city to city as he proclaimed the gospel. John's eyes saw visions of the future. His ears heard God's message, and his fingers wrote it all down in the book that we can read. Are you a servant this morning? Who is reigning in your life? You know, we can expect wages. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. The wages of living for the Lord is holiness of living, and right living is eternal life. I can't wait for the moment when we don't have the battle on earth. So we must have a servant mentality. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. Thinking of a servant. Chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, I will read it's 12, starting at verse 12. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and is served thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy vine press, of that thereof wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bound woman in the land of bound man in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. This servant loved his master so much he wanted to stay for life. Do you love your master so much? Are you willing to endure a little pain for the Lord? What we all need is an open ear to hear God's will and a pierced ear that announces we love him and we are ready to obey at his command. This morning I want to say we can't serve two masters. I want to give a little story. Many years ago, I was working at a place. I was a welder. I was there welding. Shop foreman told me to do this. And then soon the owner came. He said, I would have liked if you would have been doing this. Well, I said, the boss told me to do this. I said, now what do you want me to do? I can't say do this and I can't do that all one time. My point is this. You can't serve two masters at one time. You can't do it. You know, many people try. Have 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. That is hard. It is. We need a total commitment. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter 1. The lack of time, I'm just going to read just verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and unto knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and continue there from there. Giving all diligence, the new birth is not the end of the spiritual battle. It is not the end. It is a beginning of the spiritual battle. It is not the end. But we have the power. The Holy Spirit provides us the power if we supply the will. Another thing I want to say, we must exercise daily. Walk with God and run from sin. What I want out of that is daily devotions. I stress daily devotions. Brethren, sisters, it is very, very vital. Very vital. And prayer. We must be convinced that God has a remedy for man's sin, because he is created. Because God created man. You know, Jesus here was willing to die for sin that we could have this free gift. What love that we have. I want to read a little story that I found. Measuring God's love. We often measure a person's love by his gift. Suppose we apply this matter-of-fact method to God's gift. A little boy awoke bright and early on Christmas morning and found a beautiful bicycle with his name upon it. He was wild with joy. His younger brother said unto him, "Uncle John sent it to you." "No, he didn't," was the reply. "Then it came from Cousin Joe," was the younger brother's second venture. "I'm sure it didn't," came from the happier recipient of the gift. "It must have come from Mother. No, for no one else loves me enough to give me anything that costs as much as this." God sent Jesus Christ. He gave so much. A free gift. Psalms 139:23. I trust this is our prayer this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I trust this morning we want God's searchlight upon us, that he probe our conscience, that sin is not reigning in our body. Let not sin therefore reign. You know, we are known by our fruits. Our fruits tell others who is reigning in our life. There's three instructions needed to be heeded each day that we live. Back to our text again. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. One thing is to know that we have been crucified with Christ and are dead to sin. That's one thing. Number 2, verse 11. There likewise reckon ye, or Consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Consider the fact to be true in your life that you are dead to sin. Now, 13, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God to those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yielding our body to the Lord to use, that he can use it for God's glory. You know who we yield our servants to, obey the servants to whom we obey, whether it be sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. We are servants to one or the other. Who reigns in your life this morning? You know, we have all the availability. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in our life, to be overcomers. So this morning, my encouragement to you and to all of us, myself included, we need the Spirit within us that we can be overcomers. So when the Lord returns in the skies, we are drawn to the Lord. Or if he comes one by one, as we leave, well done, thy faithful servant. Let us kneel to pray.